God called me to preach when I was about 15 years old, and it wasn't long after that that the Lord showed me a verse in Scriptures. It went like this: "But my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And my great prayer is to hide as a man behind the cross and point you to Jesus." I'm asking God to use His Word in a special way this morning to convict us of our sin and heal us of our hurts, and He's promised He'll use it. If you would, look with me in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. We'll read together today from God's Word, beginning in verse number 14. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 14. As the Lord leads, we're working our way through this book of the Bible, and we've come to a section of miracles, and the miracles of Christ. There's so much to be learned as we study them. In chapters 8 and 9, there are 10 miracles that Matthew discloses to us. They're not in chronological order, but they have an order of emphasis and some different things that the Lord wants to apply to our lives. Today, as we look at this miracle, we see an emphasis on discipleship, and we'll read God's Word together and ask Him to bless as we share this truth this morning. The Bible says in Matthew 8, verse number 14, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto Him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. And another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." Today's message comes from verses 14 through 17, and as the Lord leads, we'll pick up in verse number 18 for a later message. But I want you to pay attention to a phrase here in verse number 15. Verse number 15. The Bible says, "He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Today's message is titled this: "She arose and ministered unto them." She arose and ministered unto them. And we see here a beautiful healing, the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And God does love mother-in-laws. It's true. And I've gotten so much trouble for mother-in-law jokes, and the Lord just has such a sense of humor. I've made fun of my mother-in-law a couple weeks ago, and she came back and spent a whole other week with me. Can you go figure? But I appreciate everyone's prayers for Ruth. She's gradually improving from her surgery, and continue to pray for her. And my in-laws, they're actually listening right now. They're on their way back, so I've got to mind my P's and Q's. But Peter's mother-in-law, in this passage of Scripture, she's laying in bed, sick with a fever. In these days, there were no antibiotics, and a fever was almost certainly a death sentence, especially one that has incapacitated you. And Jesus comes to Peter's house and heals this lady. And the beautiful thing about it is, after she's healed, she immediately receives her strength. She stands up. She arose and ministered unto them. She was healed by Jesus, and she became a servant of Christ, and God used her in a very special way. There's another set of miracles that comes. The end of the Sabbath day has come in this passage of Scripture. And the Bible says in verse 16 that there was many. When the evening came, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You see, there's a great healing, a great work of God here in this passage of Scripture. And I believe we can see as we study God's Word together how this applies to us. Today's message is titled this, She Arose and Ministered Unto Them. First of all, I want to consider this, the work of Jesus in our lives. The work of Jesus in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful that Jesus personally works in my life. And Jesus personally works in your life. I shared this with you the other day, but it helps me to see this. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world. I'm really glad that God loves the whole world. Isn't that great? And that's a big world, but I seem to get lost in a great big world. When you think about the whole world, I'm just one little tiny peon in light of the whole world. But the Bible doesn't stop there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that, what's the next word? 1, 2, 3? Whosoever. Now, I don't even know something. The world's great big, but whosoever is one person and whosoever is me. Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. Jesus works in my life. Jesus works in your life. And Jesus works in our lives. When we see this passage of Scripture, we see some beautiful ways in which the Lord works in our lives. And we see what He does here in the life of Peter's mother-in-law. The Bible says in verse 14, When Jesus was come into Peter's house. I love to think about this. First of all, how Jesus works in our lives is He comes. The Bible says that Jesus came into Peter's mother-in-law's house. He came into Peter's house. He came into Peter's house. It's just wonderful the fact that Jesus will come. Folks, you need not fret. You need not worry. In your time of need, Jesus is there. The Bible says He's a very present help in time of trouble. The Bible makes it plain that Jesus is with us. Jesus says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, Jesus comes to us. I was just fascinated by a statement I saw from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, Any house that a king enters becomes a palace. I'm thinking about our president. How many of you have ever seen pictures of Air Force One? Air Force One's quite the plane. You know something interesting about Air Force One? Air Force One is not necessarily just one airplane. It's become popular to refer to the big jet that is especially made to carry our president around, to refer to that one big one that's got all the bells and whistles as Air Force One. But the truth of the matter is, any airplane that the President of the United States gets into becomes, by its nature, because of the presence of the President, becomes Air Force One. He could get in the Cessna that landed on 81. It'd be Air Force One. If you're the one landing that plane on 81, I'm sorry to bring that up. I know it's a sore subject. But wherever the president goes, and whatever plane he gets in is Air Force One. You know something I'm fascinated about? Whatever home Jesus enters becomes a palace. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in your home and in your family, it's a palace. It's a residence that has the presence of God. It's a residence with great hope. It's a residence with great fortification. It's a place where God can work and move. The Bible says of Jesus, in their time of need, with a broken heart, concerned about His mother-in-law, the Bible says that Jesus came. Jesus came. Folks, I want you to know something. If you'll ask Him to, He'll come. He'll come into your heart and forgive your sins. He'll come into your home and He'll lead you and He'll guide you and He'll direct you. He'll come into your life and He'll heal the hurt. He'll come into your family and He'll move and work. He's waiting for an invitation. Let Him in. Jesus came. How does Jesus work in our lives? He comes. The Bible continues and says in our text, verse number 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Not only does He come, but He sees. Not only does He come, but He sees. I've been watching a lot of basketball here lately. I was devastated when the University of Tennessee got beat. First time in my life, I rooted for Virginia Tech. I wanted Virginia Tech to win a basketball game. I have to confess my sins before the whole congregation today. I've been watching a lot of basketball, and there's been a few calls that I wish that the referee had seen. Now, I wasn't allowed to watch professional wrestling when I was a kid, but every now and then I'd slip around and watch it with my Uncle Dave. I don't know if you've ever seen this, But when the professional wrestlers were doing something they weren't supposed to, they had somebody choking them out real good. The referees were always off distracted somewhere, not seeing what was going on. I felt that way in a couple of basketball games I've watched this week. But I want you to know something about Jesus. The things you need Jesus to see, He never misses. The things you want Christ to understand, He sees it and He makes the call and He makes it right. Jesus sees. Jesus didn't walk into that room where Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus walked into that and just ignore her, despise the need, looking for something to take care of Himself. Jesus walked into that room and He touched her. Jesus walked into that room and He saw what needed to be done and He worked. I want you to know something. You can rest in the care of your Savior because Jesus works in our lives with an all-seeing eye and compassion, seeing what needs to be seen. Isn't it wonderful how God works in our lives? He comes, He sees. Verse number 15. The Bible says, and He touched her hand and the fever left her. He touches our lives. This is a term that I've heard old preachers use many, many times, and I don't think I use it quite enough. Some would say of a preacher, or say of a young man, he's got the touch of God on his life. Or a young lady, he's got the touch of God on his life. Or a family or a home, they have the touch of God. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus touches. Jesus touches. I love that old song, and they rear back and sing, He touched me. He touched me. Folks, I want you to know something. If you'll let Jesus, He'll touch your life. He'll touch your home. He'll meet your needs. He's faithful to do that. The touch of God is an opportunity. You open your life up to God and you let Him work and you let Him move. And Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And He touches and reaches into our lives and meets our needs. How does God work? He touches. Look at what else He does. The Bible says, in verse number 15, He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Verse number 16, when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick. Jesus works in our lives by coming, seeing, touching, fourthly, healing. Jesus heals. Jesus heals. He'll heal your hurt. He'll heal disease. Now, folks, I don't want you to take the wrong conclusion from this passage of Scripture. The primary concern of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture is not healing outward infirmities. The primary purpose of Christ coming to earth was to pay the price for our sins, that through faith in Christ we could have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life through Jesus. But Jesus cares about you, and He heals and He works. The greatest miracle of healing that Jesus ever does is when He saves a lost soul. You see, the greatest healing you could ever have is that moment when you confess your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. And you trust in Jesus and Jesus Christ alone for your soul salvation. You see, when Jesus saves somebody, somebody told me this past week, I'm a different man. I got saved. I said, well, that makes perfect sense because the Bible says old things are passed away, all things are become new. I said, that makes perfect sense because the Bible says that we are born again when we get saved by the grace of God. It's wonderful to get saved. It's right. Jesus makes all things new, and He heals us, and He helps us. He heals. Oh, it's wonderful the fact that Jesus heals us. He heals us from everlasting condemnation. That's the greatest healing. The greatest healing ever Jesus will ever do is to give you everlasting life when you trust Him by faith as your Savior. It's wonderful. What great healing. Jesus also, I believe, heals our infirmities and heals our sicknesses, and we can rest in Him. God has not promised to heal every hurt. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that you because you're sick is because of some sin in your life. That's not true. Some of the most godly people I've ever known have dealt with great struggles physically and emotionally. Dealt with great sickness. Sickness is not God's punishment for your sins. Sickness happens and God allows it, and it happens in our life. But we can be certain of this, that our great physician, our great healer, He may heal the hurt. He may heal the disease, and He can. But folks, I want you to know something. He can always give you grace and peace for every trial that you face. You see, Jesus heals. How does He heal? It's fascinating for me to see this passage of Scripture. He healed with His touch this lady. And then the Bible says that they brought, in verse 16, many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His Word and healed all that were sick. How did Jesus cast out these devils? How does Jesus heal? The Bible says He healed with His Word. With His Word. You battle with thoughts that you don't like. The Bible says we can wash our minds with His Word. Are you concerned about the future? You can learn that the future is in the care and keeping of our loving Savior when you study and read God's Word. If your heart is broken, God's Word is full of help and hope for you. He mends the brokenhearted. He sends grace to the hearers of His Word. You see, God uses His Word. I like this passage of Scripture in 1 John. The Bible in 1 John talks often about God's Word giving ability to overcome things. I'm going to read a verse to you. The Bible says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. How did John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, say that young men could overcome the devil? The Word of God. The Word of God's in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. We must not neglect the Word of God. We must set ourselves in places where we can hear the preaching of God's Word. We must make it possible and set our schedules in a way that we can read the Word of God, that we can study and know God's Word. Oh, it's so important, because it's God's Word that does the healing. You see, Jesus is not in His in bodily form in our presence today, laying hands on people sick with fevers. He's not saying with His Word, come out of you, devil, in our presence today physically. But He sent us His Word, and His Word heals. His Word aids and helps. His Word is our hope. You see, if we will live according to God's Word, and we'll determine to study and know God's Word, it'll revolutionize our lives. It's the work that God does in us. The work that God does in our lives is through His Word. Oh, His Word's wonderful. I pray you'll make a habit spending time in God's Word. And may we always emphasize the truths from the Bible. I think about preaching a lot because I do it quite a lot. I've been thinking about preaching, and I don't know if you've noticed, but the way I preach is rather simple. I just take the Bible and preach what's there. I was thinking about this the other day. I was encouraged by it. The Bible says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. You know what's exciting to me as a preacher of the gospel? I don't have to make up sermons. I don't have to dream up ideas. God has inspired His Word. And as we study and preach God's Word, verse by verse, precept upon precept, guess what happens? The great sermon writer himself has already written it. All I have to do is tell you what it says. All I have to do is stand up and present it. And God's Word is the thing that heals us. Is your marriage in shambles? You need God's Word. Is your life in shambles? You need God's Word. Is your heart broken? You need God's Word. Are you wondering how to get where you need to go? You need God's Word. The Bible says the Word of God is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished in all good works. You know something beautiful about God's Word? God's Word will rebuke you. It'll tell you where you're wrong, but it doesn't leave you there. It will also instruct you in righteousness and tell you how to get from what's wrong to what is right. If you have brokenheartedness today, if you're in need, you stand in need of God's Word. And it's God's Word in us that heals us and protects us and helps us. May we exalt the Word of God to its proper place. You see, the work that God does in our lives, He does it through His Word. The work of Jesus in our life, He comes, He sees, He touches, He heals with His Word. One other thing I'd like for you to see in this passage of Scripture about the work that God does. He heals by His Word. The Bible says in verse number 16, the last few words, and healed all that were sick. You know what's fascinating to me? Everybody that came to Jesus that day was not sick of the same thing. Everybody that came to Jesus didn't come to Him with the same problem. Everybody that came to Jesus that day, whatever they had, whatever their condition, whatever their need, Jesus was adequately and perfectly prepared to meet it. Who got healed when they came to Christ? All. Who got help when they came to Jesus? All. What was it that Jesus saw that day that He couldn't help? Nothing. All. All. Folks, all of your needs will be met through Christ and the Word of God if you'll put your trust in Him. All means all, and that's all that all means. And Jesus says, all. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the work that Jesus does in our life. Not only this, as we conclude this passage of Scripture, this first point, the Bible says in verse number 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, the Bible says here that Jesus ministered and healed all these people and did this work of healing in fulfillment of the Word of God. You see, why can I have confidence in the Word of God? I can have confidence in the Word of God because the Word of God is complete and true. I can have confidence in the Word of God because Jesus, the Messiah, fulfilled all of the Word of God, all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Thousands of years before His birth were fulfilled perfectly in His birth, in His life, in His death, and in His resurrection. You see, Jesus came and fulfilled these works. We can rest in Him. Number one, the work of Jesus in our lives. Number two, second thing I'd like to bring your attention to, it's very simple. The work of Jesus through our lives. You see, Jesus does a work in our lives, but that's not the end product. Jesus does a work in our lives so that He can do a work through our lives. Let me show you just a couple things. Look what the Bible says back in verse number 15. The Bible says that He touched her hand. You remember? Peter's mother-in-law lying there sick with a fever. He came, He saw. He touched her hand, the Bible says, and the fever left her. The end. No, not at all. The fever left her, and the Bible says, and she arose and ministered unto them. When Jesus does a work in our hearts and in our lives, what should we offer in return? Service to Him. Service to Him. Do you know that God's called us all to serve Him? The most empty existence in all the world is self-service. You serve yourself and serve your own needs and your own desires and fulfill your own lusts. In the end of your life, you are a miserable, wretched soul. You see, God didn't design us to live just for ourselves. In the very core of our instincts is the burden and the desire and the want to reproduce and to nurture and care. To have children, to care for others. And as the child of God, it is our duty to serve. What happened to this woman? God healed her. What'd she do? She arose and ministered unto them. I've been thinking about her and her arising to minister, and I'm fascinated. You know what? She jumped up. She arose and immediately went to work. God did a work in her life, and she says, you know what? I'm not going to let God do this work in my life and not be willing to help other people. But you know what she didn't do? She didn't arise and go down the street and preached the greatest evangelistic message that was ever preached from a pulpit. That's not what God called her to do. She didn't arise and take the place of Jesus on the cross. She didn't arise and go and serve as a missionary. Do you know what she did? She arose and ministered. She did what she knew she could do at that moment to be used of God and to be a blessing. You know, folks, we waste our lives thinking, I'll minister if only I could do that. I'll minister if only I could do this. I'll minister if only I could... See, I'd minister if I was the pastor. You know what's sad? I've met pastors who say, I'd minister if I could pastor another church. Or I see folks who say, I'd minister if God would let me be a missionary. I've never met a missionary that was effective on the field who was not willing to minister where they were when God set them there. I remember when I took off to Crown College, I really wanted to sing. I've got to sing around here. I loved it. And I remember I went and visited Crown College, and this guy, his name was Jason Royalty. He stood up and sang. He had the most booming, beautiful voice. I thought, oh my lands, there's no way on earth I'll ever get to sing around here. And that was my heart. I thought, well, Lord, you must want something else for me to do. I remember I was sitting in chapel one day. I was kind of homesick. I'd been running the bus around here. I'd been working. Man, I was homesick. I never wanted to leave Chilhowee. Not for one second did I ever want to leave Chilhowee. And I was in school and I was miserable. I was saying, I ain't never going to get to sing. I ain't never going to get to preach. That. And I heard an announcement in chapel. They said, we need somebody that can drive a bus. And I thought, well, they ain't never gave anything with a steering wheel. I wasn't willing to try to drive at least. And I'd worked and got a CDL, and I had a pastor door, and I said, you know what, I may not ever get to sing, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit sulking and whining. I'm just going to find somewhere to serve. And next thing you know, I started driving a bus. I was driving a bus, and I heard through the grapevine they needed somebody to clean the gym. I thought, you know, that's something that needs to be done for God and His glory. I'll just clean the gym. I may not get to sing, but I'll clean the gym. And I took a job in the church, cleaning the gym, cleaning the bathrooms. Early in the morning I'd go. Late at night I'd be there. And before you knew it, God gave me other opportunities, and I got to sing. I got to preach. But you know where it starts? Not that I've attained anything great. I'm just a peon. I've not. But you know where God wants to start in all of our lives? He wants to start where you are. Amen. Folks, I beg of you, arise and minister. Arise and minister. She arose and ministered unto them. Do what God's enabled you to do. Don't be discontent because I can't preach a sermon. Don't be discontent because I can't sing a song. Don't be discontent because I don't have the physical health to clean the toilets and vacuum the carpet. Don't be discontent with that. God has specifically enabled you to be a minister, to help, to work, to give, to go, to serve in some form or fashion. As we fit together as the body of Christ, God has a work for you to do. The most important thing that we should do is not allow Satan to deceive us into believing that we're not fit to minister, but we should determine with God's grace that God has enabled me and given me something to do. And whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says, do it with all your might. Do it, do it, do it. Serve where you can. Serve faithfully. God may see fit to give you something else to do as you've trained, and He may not. But whatever God calls us to do is perfect. And this little lady, we never hear from her again, but she said, God changed my life. And by granny, she didn't say it just like that, but she said, by granny, I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve Him. What has God enabled you to do? He's called us to serve. She arose and ministered. Strength and ability came from healing, and her ministry was appropriate. I want you to see the next thing that happened as a result of God working. Verse number 16. When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. How did this big group of people get healed? I've circled in my Bible two little words. When the evening was come, they brought. They brought. I don't know exactly who they are, but I'm thankful for they. The nameless masses of people who said, you know what, I'm going to go out, I'm going to invest, I've heard about Jesus, and I'm going to invite that person to church, I'm going to invite that person to church, I'm going to tell that person about Jesus, I'm going to tell this person about Jesus. And the Bible says they brought a multitude of people together, and many were healed. What did they do? They brought them in. Folks, every last one of us should determine, if you're saved today, you should determine to invest in the lives of other people and point them to Jesus. It is my job, but it's also yours. They brought. You see, she arose and ministered. The work of Jesus in our lives. The work of Jesus through our lives. You see, all of us need to do something for Christ. Something. When? I'm fascinated by this. You know, there was no delay when this woman was healed, between the time she was healed and the time she served God. The Bible says the fever left her and she arose and ministered unto them. Boom, boom, boom. I heard the story this week and maybe it'll help you. It helped me. There were three apprentice demons. Now, I don't believe it necessarily works like this, but you'll get the point here in just a second, I think. There were three apprentice demons, and they were standing before the devil, getting ready to go out and terrorize some people and prevent people from going to heaven. And the devil said, I'm going to test you guys, and we're going to see how you're doing. What I'd like for you to do is I'm going to give each of you a chance, and each of the three of you, and I want you to tell me, what lie are you going to whisper into the ears of people to prevent them from going to heaven? The first little demon says, I got it. I'm going to tell people that there's no hell. The devil pondered for a second and he said, you fail. He said, people are going to automatically know there's a hell and there's a punishment for sin. And your little lie is not good. You fail. The second demon said, I know what I'm going to tell them. There's no heaven. The devil pondered for a second and said, you fail. You fail. He said, folks that are created in the image of God are going to understand that this world's not all. There's got to be a heaven. You fail. The third little demon says, I've got it. He says, you know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to whisper in the ear of anybody that'll listen. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. The devil pondered for a second. He said, you pass. He says, if we can cause people to live complacent lives and never get in a hurry and never have a sense of urgency about doing what's right, about living for Jesus, about serving Jesus, about getting saved, if we can cause people to procrastinate and put it off, then certainly we can do great harm to a generation of people. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Folks, I want you to know something. God has called us to serve Him. He's called us to serve Him today, now. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Be like this little lady. Thankful for what God had done in her heart, she jumped up and served Him. She jumped up and served Him. She began to invest in the lives of other people for the glory of God and the cause of Christ. If you're here today and you do not know for sure that heaven's your home, if God's been pricking in your heart about confessing your sins and getting saved and finding out more about living the Christian life, I'd encourage you, don't delay. Oh, don't listen to that little lie. The story is a story. It's an illustration. But the truth of the matter is, complacency is a lie from the devil. And he wants you to wait. But God says, now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the appointed time. Do not delay. Do business with God today.